Vicky and I were lucky enough to get funded by RWJ's public health law program. We are grateful for this opportunity to study this important area. We have no financial relationship to report. This presentation is part of our project of a longitudinal analysis to see the effect of non-medical exemptions on communicable disease. This presentation focuses on how we evaluate the quality, how we evaluate and quantify state non-medical exemption laws. Increasingly, we see reports of communicable disease outbreaks, concerns about vaccine safety and use of non-medical exemptions. Also, many vaccines are in development, and there is a growing CDC-recommended vaccine schedule. At the same time, there are complicated networks of state non-medical exemption laws that create different state regulatory environments. This graph compares CDC's recommended vaccination schedule in 83 to schedule in 2008. You see from 10 to 36 recommended vaccines. Here is an example of increase in vaccine target disease. The first graph shows incidence per 100,000 person of reported pertussis in the United States. The overall incidence of pertussis has been increasing since 2007 and passed the highest rate during the last epidemic, which occurred 04 and 05. The second graph shows only California incidents for the past 60 years. Jacobson versus Massachusetts in 1905 recognized the power of states to enforce mandatory vaccination laws. And many states has adopted CDC-recommended vaccination schedule and using mandated vaccination as a condition of getting public education and public employment, but exempt some individuals from vaccinations on medical grounds and often on non-medical reasons. Medical and non-medical exemptions to vaccination are noted on this map by state. All the jurisdictions allow medical exemptions. Most states also permit one or more non-medical exemptions. Every state except Mississippi and West Virginia grants a religious exemption for those whose religious beliefs are inconsistent with vaccinations. And 18 states provide a philosophical exemption where vaccination is incompatible with individuals' philosophy, conscience, and personal beliefs. The difference between these two sides reflect tension between what public health officials want parents to do and what is permitted by law, and reflects different state non-medical exemptions law. The first one is on Texas school district website, and the second one is on Colorado. That was up recently set up by a parent of a child who experienced adverse events following a vaccination. Depends on what state a person lives in. These two sides are either totally true or partially true. The objective of this project is to scientifically quantify state non-medical exemption law and to produce evidence-based restrictiveness ratings for further evaluation research. Two related papers here, but neither of this paper was a legal analysis of non-medical exemption statutes and regulations. They basically interview state immunization managers. Therefore, rater-specific variabilities could produce imprecise and difficult to compare interstate rating. Also, their findings are not may not fully reflect the actual non-medical exemption laws, especially those in place more recently. The concept of restrictness is not new and has been used to develop scales in many areas. the restrictedness of a state's non-medical exemptions law should be determined not only by evaluating the availability of basic non-medical exemption structures, but also the parental time and effort required to qualify for the exemptions. So state with highly restricted non-medical exemption statutes are those where significant time effort are required to comply with the requirements for exercising the exemptions, or where eligibility limits to certain people. To more precisely determine state non-medical exemptions restrictedness, legal research is required. So we started with Lexis and compare retreated law to law lists on four different websites, including CDC and National Conference of a State Legislature. There were 236 laws which were organized by state into review binder for our expert reviewers. Binders include a rating sheet, a characteristic summary table, a statute overview sheet, and copies of relevant statute and regulations. And we create a summary characteristic tables to facilitate a uniform and systematic review and to improve rating accuracy. We have a 26 characteristic which are organized into five major categories. A category or not considered to be of equal weight, as some are more important than others. This is an example of a state summary characteristic table. This is in Texas. Again, there were 26 characteristics identified. Each characteristic was defined, and the presence and absence of a characteristic is noted in the column for each year by either yeses or no. The more yeses assessment, the easier it is to get a non-medical exemption. So the no is opposite. The more no assessment, the harder it is to get exemptions. The last column is the resources used to get the data. In some cases, telephone interview with a state official were conducted to clarify exemption processes. And we employ two well-known public health experts, both with expertise in vaccination-related law, to independently rate each state. If rating were not identical, a impartial senior public health law expert adjudicate the rating differences. Reviewer will ask to determine an overall non-medical exemption rating for each state year, between 2000 and 2007 on a 5-point scale, 5 being the most restrictive. We conducted a pretest on 3 states first before a formal evaluation. Vermont and West Virginia were selected because they were generally considered to be at the opposite side of a restrictedness scale. And third state, Arkansas, were selected because it significantly changed its non-medical exemption law during the study period. And our main study was a longitudinal study, and we wanted to accurately capture changes in restrictedness. Our three experts made some very helpful suggestions that allow us to improve our materials for formal evaluations. And Vicky will now present our formal evaluations and results and conclusion.
Whoops. Okay, to formally evaluate our findings, there were the final rating scales, restrictiveness, overall rating scales, and the characteristics were fed into a database. From the database, we did some comparative analyses, just computing some basic descriptive statistics, and then also computed correlations between various aspects of the underlying characteristics to see if we could figure out what might be most associated with overall restrictiveness. This is an example on the left of one of the rating sheets that was completed by our our third impartial senior public health legal expert. This is an example where the two experts who did the initial ratings disagreed on a rating. This is for Delaware. One rating came in at medium, the other one came in at high, and you can see on the side where she goes through an analysis and tries to determine which is the best rating. And then across the top there, you can see where the X's are under medium. That is the data that was fed into our database for each state. So there, for each state, we had 8 state year observations. Okay, in terms of findings, the darker the color there, the more restrictive the state is. This pie chart shows that there were 11 jurisdictions, or about 12% of states, were rated as very low restrictiveness. 21%, or 11 states, were rated as low restrictiveness, 43% as medium, 10 or 19% as high, and 3% or 2 states were rated as very high. This is another picture of this same data. The colors, the darker the color, the more restrictive. You can see how that these ratings were distributed nationally. There is some evidence of some regional correlation. Okay, this slide and the next slide, I'm just going to click through very quickly. These are our summary tables, and then I pulled out the most significant findings and put them on a table by themselves. But I just wanted you to see that the characteristics, the 26 characteristics that we noted as we were going through, were organized into 5 different categories. And each of the categories were weighted. So at the top, basic NME structure, you'll see whether or not the state has a philosophical exemption, whether it has a religious exemption. And then on the side, you will see the percent of states that permit that, and then correlation with the overall restrictiveness ratings. Okay, so this is the second page of that table. Again, the 5 characteristics and the underlying, the overarching categories. Okay, so this is the table with the key findings. You will see in here, this is just basic descriptive results in the center column. 47 states grant provisional admission to students who are not fully vaccinated. 35 make available to parents state-developed application forms. 36 do not require parents to have the forms notarized. 46 do not require that the sincerity of religious beliefs be examined. 19 permit parent to request a non-medical exemption for just one vaccine instead of all vaccines, that we called scalability. 43 do not require DOH medical staff to review and approve medical exemptions. Additionally, the majority of states do not require that parents attend vaccination education program prior to application, and so on. The following on the far side are the correlations with overall restrictiveness. And what you'll see here is that some, but not all, of the underlying characteristics were highly correlated with overall restrictiveness rating, the highest being whether or not the state offers a philosophical exemption. The other, quite high, is the scalability provision. Okay, this is another way of taking the characteristics data and putting it into a graphic. This is not overall restrictiveness, but what you see here are the number of characteristics for a state. They ranged from 22 for Vermont and a low of 4 for West Virginia, raised and organized into thirds. The darker the color, the more restrictive, and the states are organized on the side. I think the important take-home message from this graph is that there is a lot of underlying variability in the structure of non-medical exemption laws. And then again here, we see the correlation between characteristics and overall state restrictiveness rating. This is a quite highly correlated relationship. Limitations of our study. There are, as usual, psychometric properties do need to be evaluated with any new rating method, and the issues range between selection of the anchor states that we used in our pretest, assignment of major category weights. These were done on the basis of expert opinion. We assumed equal weight for all of the underlying characteristics when, in fact, I think there's good evidence that they are not equally weighted. Retrieval of adjacent relevant laws. Our study was trying to evaluate non-medical exemptions, but it's quite clear that related laws on medical exemptions also play a role here. Additional specifications for some characteristics. We just pulled provisional admission versus no provisional admission. However, the provisional admission characteristics varies between something that's open-ended, something that's a few days, something that's a couple of months. So I think that's something that could have been quantified better. And we also had to make a number of inferences on the table because the laws were either silent on a particular issue or we just couldn't find the information. Okay, I struggled with whether or not to put this graphic in here, and I put it in because that I think the work that we do as it relates to vaccine exemptions is really important. We've got issues that come up with children. The child on the left is suffering from a vaccine-preventable disease. The child on the right is a vaccine reaction following hepatitis B vaccine at birth. So any time that the topic of state vaccine exemption and laws related to them come up, so do a lot of concerns about unnecessary morbidity and mortality. Discussions about vaccine exemptions also raise concerns about the constitutional right of states to protect its population. They raise concerns about people within a state who claim an exemption and choose not to be vaccinated and so on. And it also generally will involve the rights of individual parents who have informed consent rights, as well as the legal right to refuse products for their children. The bottom line is here, this is a very emotional, controversial topic, and we think that the laws need to be rationalized and the evaluations by using objective, appropriate, and clear metrics whenever possible to try to deal with this very controversial issue. So in terms of discussion, we see that a number of states are making a lot of decisions about non-medical exemptions. Some states are making laws more restrictive. Some are making them less restrictive. Some are creating new types of non-medical exemptions, including the opt-out laws. This really changes the playing field here. So there's a lot of legislative activity that is happening in the absence of good data on the potential effects of these changes. Future research, I think I've covered most of these issues. Conclusions here, states vary in terms of overall restrictiveness. Within a given restrictiveness level, states vary in terms of underlying structures. The implications of these findings for state policymakers is very clear unclear without further research. We need research on the effect of the restrictiveness and the underlying characteristics on vaccine uptake, disease, and ultimate health outcomes. We'd like to acknowledge our experts who helped us, Rob Fields, Diane Hoffman, and Ross Silverman. We'd like to also acknowledge the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding our research. And since it's Halloween, I will leave you with a joke that says, it's not a costume. My folks just decided to opt out of my getting the swine flu vaccine. Well, that you can tell that's a couple of years old. And so enjoy Halloween, that my son wouldn't get caught dead in a costume like that. Thank you very much for your attention.